Mark 11:22. We have been on this subject of faith, and it is an exhaustible subject. The Bible that you have is a book of faith, and yet sometimes, my friend, I fear that we, as what we say, Bible-believing Christians, we fail when it comes to the matter of faith in our personal lives. And so today, I want to try to finish. This will be the third sermon that we preached out of this subject in Psalm chapter 78. And then as another verse that we've been looking at, Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, in Psalm 78, let me ask you a theological question. And I'm not trying to be smart, or I'm not trying to be cute or anything like that. But can God do anything? Well, that's true. He cannot lie. Yes. This isn't a trick question, by the way. Now, if we believe that God can do, as Ephesians 4 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Now, don't raise your hand on this one, but if God can do anything, then why is it that all of our prayers are not answered? Now, sometimes people say, well, preacher, it's just that God says yes, God says no, and God says wait. Why is it that if God can do the impossible, why is it that we have a long list of prayer needs every Wednesday night? We have front and back. If God can do anything, then why aren't these people healed? Y'all do believe that God can do anything? Well, let me show you a verse of Scripture, Psalm 78. And the Bible says, we've read this, so if you haven't been here with us, take time today to go back and read it. But here the Israelites, this is a recount of what was happening unto them. They had seen the miracles of God. They had seen the Red Sea parted. They had seen water turn to blood. They had seen the plagues upon Egypt. They had seen all that. And yet look in verse number 19. When they got out into the wilderness, and when they got to that point of needing to depend totally upon God, and when there was not a food supply and when there was not a water supply, doubt began to set into their minds. And they said in verse 19, yea, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God really do that? Well, these Israelites, listen, how many of y'all have ever seen the waters parted? No. How many of you have ever seen the water turn to blood? No. How many of you have ever seen the miracles that they saw down in Egypt? No. And yet these people saw these miracles firsthand, and yet they doubted God. They came to that point, they said, I really don't know if he can do it or not. Look what happened. Read on down just a minute, and in verse 21, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Why? Because, verse 22, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. And then notice one other verse I want to show you in verse number 42. Psalm 78, 41. All right? Psalm 78. Look in verse 41. And I want y'all to read this with me if you've got a King James. If you don't have a King James, just listen to us.
Psalm 78:41. Yea, they turned back and they tempted God. Here's what I want you to read with me. All right? And they did what? They limited the Holy One of Israel. Now that verse tells me right there, God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, but He is limited on what? On our faith. If we don't believe it, it's not going to happen. If we do not trust Him, it's not going to happen. We can read these names week after week after week, and if we don't believe that God's going to work and save and heal and deliver, then it's not going to happen. Are y'all with me? Part of what God does, He does. Look in Ephesians, and here's the verse I just quoted to you. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Now unto Him who is that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. But where is the meat? Where is the key? According to the what? Power that worketh within us. So here it is. If we as Christians do not believe that God is able to do it, guess what? He's not going to do it. And we've already said you have to first of all believe and then receive. If you don't believe, you're not going to receive. Are y'all following me so far? If you really in your heart, deep down in your soul, believe that God cannot lie and that the Word of God is true and that God has all power and all might and all glory, and if you pray believing it can be done, it shall be done. But if you doubt in your heart, it ain't going to happen. Let me give you 5 things that God can do for you and I this morning. And we've already been preaching on this, so if you haven't been with us, get the tape. Somebody asked me a week ago, said, Brother Charlie Sheldrake said, Preacher, how do you expect us to remember all that? I said, we'll get you a tape. We'll get you a CD. And Brother Jeffrey made him one. So, you know, we have CDs. Everything that we do here is recorded. And if you have Facebook, you can go back and watch the services. Thank God for technology. Thank God for these men that labor on behind the scenes. But first of all, 5 things real quickly. We touched on this last week. Number one, God can turn night into day. He can turn night. The Bible said in Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Every last one of us that have been saved by the good grace of God. At one time we were lost in our sins and we were blind to our sin. Listen, before you got saved, you thought you were having a good time. Before you got saved, people would go out and drink whiskey and liquor on Saturday night, think they'd having a big old time, wake up on Sunday morning, the head be about this big, puking their guts out, and they'd say, boy, didn't we have a good time last night. You were deceived into thinking you're having a good time. But once you got saved and once you saw the light, all of a sudden you'd rather be in the house of God on a Sunday morning than puking your guts out at home. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded their mind. People are blind today. People say, why are we seeing what we're seeing today? People are blind today. Hey, thank God for you here. And but people are blind today. Brother Rodney, some people think they can worship God just as good on the lake or on the mountains or shooting birds or whatever else, or deer. They think they can worship God just as good out there as they can in the church house. I disagree with that. I disagree with that. Bible said, not forsaking the assembly. Now listen, I know, look, I'm not, look, some of you, I know some of you had to work. I know some of you have been sick. I have been sick. I have missed church. I understand that. But I'm saying, listen,
For the average person that says, hey, I'm just going to sit home this morning and I'm going to watch TV evangelists today. Hey, listen to me. You're blinded into thinking you can get all that you need to get at home. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be around other Christians. You need the fellowship. You need the encouragement. You need that. This is where God has blessed in the church house. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And so we ought to be. We ought to love the church as Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the church. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Come on now. Help me out. Y'all help me. Listen, I just had surgery. Y'all help me out. Say amen. Keep me going. Jesus passed by one day, a blind man, blind from birth. We talked about that last week. Thank Brother Mark, he didn't make it back from Kentucky. But Mark chapter 9, there was a blind man, and Jesus opened his eyes. Second of all, this morning, quickly, God can turn bondage into liberty. Hear this old preacher out. The Bible said in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. How many of you believe that there is power in this book, in the Word of God, that He can break every chain? He can set the captive free. I don't care what kind of bondage you can be in. I don't care what kind of sin. It doesn't matter, because the Lord can set you free. If you know the Son of God, you shall be free indeed. Now, you say, preacher, what about these people that are still in bondage? Two things. Either they don't know the truth, or they're not applying the truth. That's the only two reasons. Listen, I believe this. I believe God can knock all the drugs out of a person's life. I believe God can clean up the mind of every man, every woman. I believe God can knock the liquor out of the liquor cabinet. Say amen. He can set you free. You don't have to be bond. You don't have to be in bondage. You don't have to be cumbered down. You don't have to be despondent. You can be free. You can be free from depression. Amen.
Amen.
You can be free from sin.
Amen.
You can be free from pornography. You can be free from lust. You can be free from adultery. You can be free from alcohol. You can be free from drugs, from methane. You can be free from crack cocaine. You can be free. If you know the Son of God, you shall be free. Three times in Mark chapter 5, Jesus set three people free. In Mark chapter 5, there was a wild man that was set free from the demons. He had his dwelling among the tombs. He stayed up. Listen, I'm going to give you some things. If you want to know if somebody is under the influence of demons, take the man in Mark chapter number 5, and that's a very good illustration of a man that's under the power of demons. Number one, y'all help me out if you read your Bible. Where was he living? In the tombs. He had a preoccupation with death. Boy, she's getting quiet. We have had today people, young people. Brother Steve, I don't understand. Maybe I'm just old and out of date. But all this preoccupation today with skulls and zombies and dead stuff, dead people. Brother, I don't understand some of that stuff. Do you? I don't either. I want something living. I want something alive. If it's dead, let's bury it. Amen? All right. But Brother Steve, one of the characteristics of somebody that's under demon possession or demon oppression, they have a preoccupation with death, with skulls, with tombs, with occult, with all that kind of stuff. This man, he had his dwelling in the tombs. And second of all, what else did he do? He ran around at what time? Daytime or nighttime?
Nighttime.
You will find oftentimes people that the devil is the prince of darkness, right? And so when does he like to do his craft?
At night.
But you find some people that will stay up all night and sleep during the day. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Help me out now. He was up at night. All right, quick, we got to move on. What else about this man in Mark chapter 5? The Bible said that he had an unnatural strength. Nobody could bind him. He'd break every chain that they tried to bind him. And friend, a man that is under the control of demonic spirits has an uncanny, unnatural strength. I had a man one time years ago when I was preaching. He came in. I won't go into all the story. I've told you this before. But he came in on, it was a snowy February morning, and he was, man, he was out of it. When we dismissed the service that day, one of my deacons, he bolted out the door, and I didn't know at the time, he ran home to get a gun, because this man, he'd already killed one man. He was so evil, he had overfed horses and killed them. He was renting property from one of our other men in the church. He had put spikes out in the ground to where it busted his tractor tires when the owner, the man in our church, would run across there to bust his tractor tires. But this man told me that went home to get the gun. He said, "Preacher, I have literally seen him lift a Chevrolet motor out of a 327 motor by himself. I don't know what that weigh. What that weigh? Probably 700-800 pounds? Maybe? 700-800 pounds at least." He said, "Preacher, I've seen him grab a hold of it and lift it by himself." Now that's pretty strong, ain't it? And he wasn't no big, he wasn't no strapping, but I believe without a doubt he was under demon possession, demon oppression. The other thing about this man in Mark chapter 5, we got to move on. The Bible said that he cut himself, didn't he? And some of you may not want to hear this, but young people today that have a problem, you'll notice we've had young people here when they were here from the City of Refuge some years ago, and I've been around some of them, and some of these girls, some of the guys, they have a problem, they cut themselves. That is a sign of demon oppression. Are y'all with me? It is inflicting bodily harm upon one's person. You know what the devil does? John 10:10. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy your body because you're made in the image and likeness of God. Thank God for that. Amen. The reason the devil hates us so much is we're made in God's image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When he breathed life into the body, we became a living soul. And thank God for it today. And when we die, we're going to be with him. And the devil hates your body today. Mark 5, there was a man set free from demons. There was a woman set free from disease. There was a woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had tried many physicians. She spent all of her money. She done all that she could do. But thank God for the day that she met the great physician. And the moment she met him, her disease was healed. And friend, let me tell you something. God can still do it today. God can still heal you today. I don't care what it is. I've known folk today that have had cancer. And God has healed them. Amen. And then also in Mark 5, there was a dead child that was set free from death. Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue, and he brought his little daughter had died, but Jesus, he resurrected her. And friend, I want to tell you something. One of these days, you and I are going to breathe our last breath. One of these days, this heart is going to beat for the last time. You know, I was in the hospital. I've been here a lot. I got frequent flyer miles. I was down at Duke the other day, and they wheeled me back down there to do another x-ray, and the lady said, "Hi, my name's Marilyn." I said, "Yeah, I remember you. I was here. The last time I was here, you took care." "Oh, okay. Brother Steve, I got to know him by name almost." Amen. But I was up in Greensboro in the hospital up there in the emergency room, and the ER doctor, I told him, I prayed with him, and I prayed with a lady the other day that came by, and this is what he said. He said, "You cannot be in the medical profession and not believe in God." He said, "There's so many things about the body that we still don't understand." And he said, it's intricate. Have you ever thought about this? I mean, listen, just for a second. From the moment that you were conceived and your heart started beating, apart from having a heart attack or a skip or something like that, your heart will beat until the day you breathe your last breath. Now think about it. I don't know. I never figured it out, Brother Steve. How many times it beats a minute? How many beats in an hour? How many beats in a year? And most of us will live to be 70 years of age or maybe even older than that. Think about that for a minute. Man has never made a machine that can go that distance and last that long without it having to be oiled and lubricated and it wear out and had to put new bearings in it. Hallelujah. When God made you, He made a miracle. And one day, we'll be resurrected like Jesus was. I'm going to have a glorified body. I'm going to live forever. I'll not have to worry about doctors and hospitals and anything else again. I'm going to be perfect. Amen. And I'll have hair.
Amen.
Little Matthew came in this morning and Michael said, "Son, we need to get you a haircut." And Michael said, "When we get your hair cut..." Oh, Matthew said, "You want some of it?" When I said, "I'll take some. Even if it's black, I mean, you know. Two-tone." Third of all, God can turn doubt into blessed assurance. Jesus appeared to His disciples that first Sunday night, but Thomas wasn't there. I don't know where he was. I don't know what he was doing. But when Jesus appeared that first Sunday night, post-resurrection, Thomas was absent. Can I tell you something? Every time you miss a church service, you'll miss something. I'll say it again, and trying to get some more of you. Every time you miss a church service, you're going to miss a blessing.
Amen.
Romans 10:17 says this, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." How many of you want more faith?
Yeah.
Raise your hand high. You want more faith? Oh, come on, everybody wants more faith, right? You know how you get more faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more of the Word of God that you hear, and the more of the Word of God that you read, the more of it that you hear preached, the more of it you hear sung, the more of it you can feast upon, your faith is going to grow. But the less of it that you hear, the less of it that you sing, the less of it you hear preach, your faith is going to dwindle, and then your faith turns into doubt.
The disciples said this when they saw Thomas. "Thomas, we've seen the Lord." And you know what old Thomas said? Now don't start throwing sticks and stones at Thomas because we're just like him. Thomas said this, "I'll not believe until I put my hand in his nail-pierced hands and look at his side that was pierced." The next Sunday night, Jesus appeared the second time, and Thomas was there, and Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He got the message. And friend, can I tell you something? Every time that we absent ourselves from the house of God when we can be here, keep in mind, I said, when we can be here, we do ourselves an injustice, and then our faith begins to doubt. Fourth of all, God can turn defeat into victory. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 9, I don't have time to go into all of this, so just listen to me for a second. The disciples were crossing over the Sea of Galilee, as the people came to hear Jesus, Jesus stood by the shore of Galilee, and there were two ships by the lake, it says in verse number 2, and the fishermen had gone out, and they were washing their nets, and one of them was Simon Peter. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, launch out into the deep and let your nets down, and you'll catch a draught." You know what old Peter said? Peter answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now, here these were experienced fishermen. I am sure, Brother Rodney, that they knew where on the Sea of Galilee to fish. Not that big of a sea, not that big of a body of water, and yet here they had a boat, they had a net, they were experienced,
They were fishing at the right time of day. They were fishing at nighttime, which they, most of the time you catch more fish at nighttime than you do in daytime. They were doing everything they knew to do with their intellect. Right time of day, got the right net, got the boat, got this, got all that, and they failed in what they were doing. And Jesus said, if you'll just get back in the boat and go out a little bit further and put your net down, you'll catch something. And Peter, like us, he's like, Brother Steve, I can read something into this. And this is what I read into it. Peter looks around and he says, do you understand what he just said? He's the son of a carpenter. Well, that's what everybody thought, you know, Joseph. What does he know about fishing? I've been fishing all my life. That's what I've been doing. I'm experienced. I know when to fish, where to fish, how to fish. And he probably looked at one or two of them other disciples and said, what does Jesus know about fishing? He might know a little bit about carpenter work, but fishing? But Jesus, nevertheless, we'll do it. We don't believe it, but we'll do it. Isn't that like us? Oh, I know it says it. I guess we'll try. I don't know if it's going to work or not. Maybe. Jesus said, just obey. And you know what they did? When they had done this, the Bible says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. They had so many fish that the net actually could not contain them. And the Bible says, and they beckoned to their partners, which are in the other ship, and they came and to help them, and they came and filled both of the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am sinful, O Lord. The Bible went on to say this, Peter and the other disciples had fished all night and caught nothing. They had experienced, they had everything going for them, but they, when they obeyed the word of God, then their defeat was turned into victory. Do you know why we're defeated? Do you know the average Christian is defeated today? I can look at your faces and see that many times. You walk into the church house, you put a fake smile on you, you plaster something on, but you're defeated. Down in your heart, you are defeated. You know why? Because the devil has gotten you to doubt the word of God. Hey, have faith in God. It will work out. It will come to pass. What Jesus said is true. Have faith in the word of God today. How many of you have a need today on your hearts? Amen. Have faith in God that He will do it. Last of all, I gotta skip one or two here. I want you to turn with me. God can heal your body. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Turn with me. Psalm 103. I'll let you go in just a minute. Some people said, preacher, don't overdo it this morning. Psalm 103. How many of you believe this book? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you believe it from cover to cover?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to put you to the test. Psalm 103, are you there with me?
Yes.
Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Verse 3, read it with me, everybody. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Stop right there. How many believe that when you got saved, even after you got saved, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's precious Son, cleanses us from all sin?
Amen.
He forgives you of all your iniquities. And the word iniquities, on Sunday night, we've been talking about sins, iniquities, and transgressions. But iniquities simply means this: me having my own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, me having my own way. And so the Lord has forgiven me of all my iniquities, all my sins, all my transgressions. Now read the rest of this. And who does what? Read the rest of it now. Healeth all thy Okay, now stop right there. That little word all appears two times in that verse. How many of you believe that God forgave you of all of your sins? Somebody didn't raise your hand. Praise God. Y'all need to get saved. How many believe that God forgave you of all your sins? Come on.
Yeah.
How many of you believe that God can heal you of all your diseases?
Yeah.
I don't know about that now, preacher. You know what, Brother Steve? I'm going to sit down here for a second. We bring a lot of this on ourselves by the way that we talk. I hear people all the time. And if you're guilty of this, then let today be a change in your life. Oh, I feel like I'm getting the flu. Guess what? You just told the devil something that he wanted to hear. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. You remember old Fred Sanford? It's a big one coming on, Ethel. Elizabeth. See. You know what we do? We tend to shoot ourselves in the foot. You know why? What we do sometime, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There is life and death in the power of the tongue. I preached on this last year. If you say so, then it will be so. If you say so, it will be so. If I say, the Lord has healed me of all my diseases, then guess what? That's a blessing. But if I say, oh, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. I just don't know if I can put one foot in front of another. I feel so bad. Well, guess what you've just done? You pronounced a curse on yourself. I didn't say profanity. I said a curse. And people are guilty. People, all the Christians are guilty about this. They say, oh, I just don't know. I just don't know if God is going to do it or not. Guess what? If you don't believe it, he's not going to do it. But do you believe the book? Do you believe what he said?
Amen.
Do you believe you shall be healed?
Amen.
All right, now I'm going to tell you why certain people are not healed. And you got to go with me to this. Turn with me to the book of James, and I'm done. James, how many of you believe these verses we just read?
Amen.
Do you believe that God is willing and able to heal?
Yes.
Then why aren't more people healed? There are two reasons. If you'll turn to James 5, I'm going to tell you the two reasons. And then we'll have a word of prayer and let you go home. I've shared this with other people before. I've had people to come to me and say, preacher, would you anoint me with oil? Sure, it's in the Bible. And pray. Sure, it's in the Bible. But there's something that goes along with that. And here it is. James 5. 13. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Any merry, let him sing psalms. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Now, an elder is just simply a mature person. It doesn't mean we have deacons in our church. We don't have designated people that are called elders. But an elder can be any mature person in the Lord. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And here it is, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, the oil does not heal anybody. I think I got some up here. Maybe. I ain't going to dump everything off. All it is olive oil. Same if you cook with it, you know, virgin olive oil. That's what most time people use to, and it's not the oil, listen to me now, it's not the oil, and friend, let me tell you something, I'm not up here selling prayer handkerchiefs either, amen? It's not in a man, it's not in a hanky, it's not in a bottle of oil, it's not where you send in $1,000, are y'all with me?
Amen.
What heals, all right, now here we go, watch this now, are y'all with me?
Two or three of you, I'm waiting. And the here and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's the first condition. We have to pray believing that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. Psalm 103 said He healeth of all thy diseases. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, by His stripes we are healed. And the word there in Psalm 53, don't have time to go into it, but it means our afflictions. It means not only, it says our sorrows, but it means our ailments. It means everything that the devil, listen, who is it that wants to afflict us? It's not God. How many of you have children? Raise your hand. Do you love your kids? Would you intentionally hurt your children? Well, there are some wicked people out there that would, and that's they need to have, well, we need to take care of them in the out back. Amen?
Amen.
But for the most part, parents love their kids. You love your grandkids, right?
Yes.
And so you would not intentionally hurt them. So don't think that, I hear people say, well, God put this on me for a reason. Hey, wait a minute. Whoa, back up. Let's get the mule in front of the horse, mule in front of the wagon. Whose fault is it that sickness is here today anyway? Adam and Eve. If you're going to blame anybody, put the blame on Adam and Eve. You know why? As by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. You realize that before Adam and Eve sinned, there was no sickness, there was no death, there was no pain and sorrow. But when they sinned, they brought it into the world. And don't blame God. Put it back on Adam and Eve. Y'all with me?
Amen. Yes.
But now here it is. And here's the clincher here. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if, here's the part we want to leave out. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are y'all reading that with me? Here's two conditions. First of all, the prayer of faith. When we pray, pray believing that God is going to, not maybe, but God's going to do it. Don't pray if it's God's will to heal. You know what it is? Did we not just read the scriptures that said that who healeth of all thy diseases? So go with me one more step. Is it God's will to heal? Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. Trust the Lord that He's going to do it. Pray, not wavering. But here's the clincher. I had somebody to come to me one Sunday and said, would you pray for me? I said, yes, I will. But this, when I got to this point here, this is where they had a problem. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And I looked at this person and I said, do you have any unforgiveness, bitterness? Do you have anything in your heart that would hinder the prayer of faith? I said, can you look at everybody and know that you're right with them? And they said, no. I said, are you willing to go to that person and confess your faults? No. I said, then the prayer of faith ain't going to work.
Right.
Y'all follow me?
Yeah.
And I believe this, my friend, the reason why a lot of people are not healed today, number one, they don't have the faith to believe it. Number two, they're harboring something in their heart that's
right.
Hindering that prayer of faith.
Right.
Amen. Come on, help me out.
If
you're harboring ill feelings and unforgiving and bitterness and hatred and malice, God's not going to work in your life. You've got to get that out before you can be healed. Amen?
Amen?
I believe that. That's what the book says right here. That's what I'm reading right here. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you have faith to believe? If you have faith to believe, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And then he goes on to say here, if he hath committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. But what does he have to do in order to get to that point? He's got to confess that.
not just to God. And here's the best way. Listen, and I'm done. You know how most people confess? Let me illustrate it. You're my buddy, aren't you? We love each other, don't we? There's nothing wrong with us, is there? No. But here's the way. Here's the way we do it. Brother Rodney, if I've done anything to hurt you or offend you, I'm sorry. You know what he's thinking? He really don't mean that. What I am inferring is this. You may think that I did something, but I don't think I did anything. So I'm just kind of throwing a blanket over it. But here's the best way. Brother Rodney, here's the best way. God has convicted me of how wrong I have been. I have asked God to forgive me. And now I'm asking you, would you forgive me? And leave it. That puts it back up. Forgiveness is an act of your will. It frees you. I don't want to be able, I don't want anybody to point a finger at me and say, you wronged me and you never made it right. As Paul said, I want to be free from the blood of all men. How can I do that? If God right now brings to your memory somebody right now that you've got hard feelings or bitterness, you've got something going on in your life, and my friend, listen, not only for your sake, but the sake of other people around you, because if you've got that going on, then your prayer of faith ain't going to get, it ain't even going to get as high as this ceiling. Do y'all follow me?
Amen.
Does it make sense?
Amen.
I want to go through the rest of my life. I'm 62 years old. That made me feel good the other day. I forget where I was. In one of them clinics or something, you know. And I said something about being 62. And the girl said, you don't look 62. I said, well, how old do you think I look? She said, I thought maybe, you know, mid-50s. I said, no, it was a restaurant. Because I said, yeah. I said, man, a lady, I need to give you a tip. And that's where it was. Hey, I want to go through the rest of my days healed of the Lord, free from the guilt, free from any, and not only for my sake, but my family's sake, my kids' sake, my grandkids' sake. Because there's going to come some times, as y'all know, that you're going to need to pray for your children. There's going to come some times that you're going to have to pray for their healing. Now, the third thing, and the prayer of faith, what is that prayer of faith? It means your faith. It also means their faith. Amen? It means your faith, but it means a person, listen, if I'm praying for somebody and if they don't believe that they're going to get, if they don't believe that God's going to heal them, guess what? It probably ain't going to happen. But if you agree, what does the Bible say? Y'all help me out. Wherefore, if any two of you among you agree as touching anything, it shall be done on this side of heaven. Amen? So if you and I agree that it shall be done, it shall be done according to the Word of God.
Amen.
What can God do for us? He can turn night into day. He can heal your diseased body. He can turn a storm into a great calm. He can turn defeat into victory. He can turn doubt into blessed assurance. Let's pray. Heads are bowed.